Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. A welcome to the visitors in our midst. May you feel at home in our presence and in the presence of God this morning. For a text, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. This is Jesus speaking right after he gave all the blessings in the beginning of chapter 5, and right after he gave the three verses 13, 14, and 15 about God's people being a salt and a light. Breaking in at verse 17, Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Special focus on verse 20. What is Jesus saying in verse 20? Well, there was a familiar group of people in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, that everyone knew about. And they were the spiritual leaders of the day. They were to be that. They preserved Jewish history. They were very interested in that. They preserved the law. But Jesus said to his disciples and to this multitude of people that he was teaching, and to us here this morning, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter heaven. That's the heartthrob of my message this morning. What did Jesus mean? The title of my message is Phariseeism versus Christianity. Who was a Pharisee in Jesus' day? They called themselves Haber, which meant one who associates himself with the law in order to observe it strictly in opposition to coming Hellenism. And the Hellenists in Jesus' day were those who were going away from Old Testament law and adopting the Greek language, Greek customs, and Greek culture of the day. And the Pharisees stood up and said, no, we can't do that. And the Pharisees were well known. The Pharisees, according to the Talmud, were of seven kinds. There was the Shechemite Pharisee. He's named after Shechem. It was named after Shechem, who submitted to circumcision in order to obtain his love, Dinah. There was a Shechemite Pharisee, and the Shechemite Pharisee kept the law for what he could profit thereby. That's what he was interested in. He was interested in keeping the law from what he could get out of it. There was also the humbling Pharisee. And he was a man who appeared to be humble, because everywhere he walked with a hanging head off to the one side. That's how he walked. Everywhere. To prove that he was humble. And these were well known in the audience that Jesus was teaching to. There was also the bleeding Pharisee. He was the man who walked with his eyes shut in order that he would not see a woman. And thus he was often wounded by running into things. And he was called the bloody Pharisee. The bleeding Pharisee. There was also the mortar Pharisee. Maybe you have read about the mortar and pestle. It's a hollow vessel of wood or stone or metal used to pulverize grain before the days of modern grinding as we know them today. They used a mortar and pestle, and the mortar was named after that. The mortar Pharisee was the man who wore a mortar-shaped hat to cover his eyes that he might not see anything indecent. He walked that way with his hat. He was the mortar Pharisee. The Talmud would also record that there was the "what am I yet to do" Pharisee. The "what am I yet to do" Pharisee. And he was a man who had not studied the law. He knew very little about the law. He hadn't applied himself. But when he heard a law given to him, he would do it. And when he was done, he said, "Now what's my duty? What should I do next?" He was ready to do things. He was ignorant, but he was ready. He was always ready for the next step, the "what am I yet to do" Pharisee. That's five of them. There's two more that the Talmud would record. There was the Pharisee who was a Pharisee because he was afraid. And he was called the Pharisee of fear. He kept the law because he was afraid to not keep it. He was afraid of future judgment if he didn't follow the law to the letter. He was a Pharisee from fear. And then the seventh kind of Pharisee, according to the Talmud, was the Pharisee from love. And he obeyed the Lord because he loved him with all his heart. And maybe that's the group of Pharisees that we often don't think much about. As it is today, so it was back then, I'm sure. Many of the Pharisees were not good men at all in their hearts. And so even if you were a good man and you were a Pharisee and you loved the Lord with all your heart, your reputation was ruined because you were a Pharisee. But there were some good ones, some who obeyed the Lord because they loved him with all their heart, just as the Old Testament law had commanded. Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter heaven. I have 7 points taken from Jesus' own words that I believe were Jesus' 7 goals for Christianity. And you can think about the 7 kinds of Pharisees as we look at the 7 goals that Jesus had for Christianity. Point number one, Jesus' goals for Christianity was to fulfill the law. We read that in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Pharisees often accused him of destruction. They said, "Your teaching veers away from the law." Jesus said, "No, my teaching is here to fulfill and complete the law." He said in verse 18, "That one jot or one tittle." They were small letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And one jot or one tittle shall not change. Jesus was interested in fulfilling the law. Jesus was interested in Christians keeping every one of the commandments. We see that in the beginning of verse 19. And the Pharisees taught that it was all right to break one of the little commandments. They thought that was fine. Jesus said that's not Christianity. He says that elsewhere in the New Testament as well. Jesus' goals were to fulfill the law. Point number two. Jesus' goal was to get men to see the law of God as a supreme guide of life. Jesus wanted us to see that the law of God is the supreme guide of life. The Pharisees were so concerned with detail that the real meaning of the law became lost. Turn to Matthew 12. We have a few examples of this while Jesus walked and talked on the earth. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy,' and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then saith he to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. In these two short stories, we have Jesus and his disciples walking through the cornfield, picking off the corn and eating it on the Sabbath day. And the devout Pharisee said, that's not lawful. And we have the leader of the synagogue being upset because Jesus was healing someone. Jesus went ahead and healed the man anyway, and gave his reasons why. Again, the Pharisees picked the detail of the law and forgot about what the law was all about as in its entirety. Matthew 23, a couple more examples. Matthew 23. Beginning at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye have made clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus said, you've overlooked judgment and mercy and faith, which are your foundations to stand on. And yet you meticulously tithe things in an orderly way. Do everything in tithing just as the law said. But note what Jesus said to them. Sometimes we look at it and we say, how could they not see? But Jesus said, you've passed over judgment and mercy and faith, the foundations you should be standing on. But I'm not telling you to leave the other undone. Keep on tithing meticulously. I'm not telling you to stop. But I'm telling you that Christianity is much, much deeper than that. Mark chapter 7, let's turn to that one. Mark chapter 7. Jesus wanted us to see that the law of God is the supreme guide of life, of our inner being. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Luke chapter 13, one more example. Luke chapter 13. Beginning at verse 10. Luke 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She had been sick for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. You see the desperate physical condition of this woman. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which man ought to work. He's quoting from the law. And in them therefore come and be healed, and not don't come on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, and all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You see Jesus in opposition to the Pharisees. You see this woman in desperate need, and this Pharisee with no sympathy for her condition. He didn't have any. All he was concerned about was the letter of the law that said, in 6 days you shall work. But I love the last verse that I read there, the rejoicing of the people, and the adversaries were ashamed. Jesus' words and sermon were clear. Point number three, Jesus was interested in helping men to understand that true piety. I'll say it again. Jesus wanted to help men to understand that true piety consists of. And I have three subpoints underneath that. Jesus wanted us as Christian people to know what true piety is. True piety, another way of saying it, is reverence toward God. So God wants us to understand how to reverence him. And reverencing God consists of three things. Number one, substance. Not just form. Substance. The second one, it consists, true reverence toward God consists of our inward spirit, not only our outward observances. True reverence to God, thirdly, consists of great rules of life, not only small details. So reverence toward God is a huge subject, but affects very much how I feel and how I stand in reverence before the mighty God of heaven inside here. And when I have the reverence toward God that I should have, I won't strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I won't be meticulous with my tithe and not know how to stand on judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus wants us to understand how to reverence the God of heaven. Point number four, Jesus wanted to teach men to be humble. Brother Bernal in his devotional read that account of the Pharisee, a very good one on humility. Maybe we'll just leave that point right there. You can remember the story that he gave us of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisees did not understand how to be humble. Jesus again and again tried to teach them. You could go to Matthew 23, 1 to 12, Luke 14, 7 to 11. I won't go there. But you could look those references up. Jesus trying to teach humility to the Pharisees. Jesus wanted us to understand humility. Point number five, Jesus wanted to show men how to be compassionate. This was a big one for the Jewish people. And it is one way that American culture has. That's one lesson that American culture has taught us better than many of the cultures of the world. We do understand something about compassion. We do typically have hearts that if we drive through a city or we walk somewhere and we see someone lying along the road, that we would do something about it. Or we would find someone who could help the person. But that was not the Jewish culture in Jesus' day. You remember stories that Jesus told. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan and how the Pharisees walked by on the other side and just left him lay there to die. And that was their culture, but Jesus didn't like that. He said, you must learn to have compassion. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. May we hold on to what we've been given in being compassionate people. Luke chapter 7, verse 39. I'm going to start reading at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't talk out loud, but this is what he said inside. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering what he thought inside his mind, I'm not sure what you would do if you were with Jesus and you thought something in your mind and then Jesus would answer what you just thought. Wouldn't be a real nice feeling sometimes with some of our thoughts. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He gave the story of the two creditors, asked which one was forgiven more. The story continues, I won't read more. Simon was critical of this woman with the alabaster box of ointment. In Luke chapter 15, verse 2, the Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was another part of their culture. You could not eat with a sinner. You couldn't sit down at the table with him, but Jesus did. He had compassion on the unfortunate. He had compassion on sinners. And he wants you and I as Christian people to continue to show compassion. Point number 6. Jesus wanted to teach men to have open minds to the truth. Open minds to the truth. Turn with me to John chapter 16. Beginning at verse 7. John 16, verse 7, Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin. Because they believe not on me. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus was telling the Jewish people, the Pharisees, that he was going to leave and go back to heaven, and he was going to send his Spirit, and his Spirit was going to teach them new things. And the Pharisees didn't like new things. Are you and I open to the words of Jesus' truth? Are we open to the Spirit of God? Are we open to the minds of our brothers? Jesus wanted to teach men to have open minds to the truth that he taught and to the truths of the Bible, the truths of the New Testament, which was all new to the Jewish people, to the Pharisees. But he wants us this morning to have open minds to truth. Point number 7, the last one. I'm sure there are more. You could add more to this list, but this is where we'll stop this morning. To help men to have holiness of heart. To help men to have holiness of heart. That's what the Pharisee who walked around with his eyes closed all the time was trying to do. He was trying to have holiness of heart. And so he said, if I don't see anything wicked, it'll keep me clean inside. And perhaps he wasn't all wrong. But Jesus wanted him to be clean inside. Inside. And Jesus came with the gospel that gives us the power to be clean inside. May God help us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. May God help us to stand on faith, to stand on the things that are concrete in God's Word. And may God help us to not stop doing the little things that help us to stay there. Shall we kneel for prayer?